All right, everybody, thanks for joining in. This is Confessions of a Serial Wife. So today's episode, I want to focus on my kids. I've talked about them a lot in other episodes, and I just kind of want to, maybe sum everything up. Maybe it's because it's getting close to the holidays, or I'm stressed out and thinking about them, or just whatever, but that seems to be the topic of the day. So again, if you haven't listened to my previous podcasts, I highly recommend you do that because that will give you the background for this episode. So I had my son, I was in my early 20s. I was with his biological thing, and that was just a bad situation. And I've outlined all of that in a previous podcast or two. So really, when I had him, I was in such a bad spot that he absolutely saved my life. I just look back at that and I think that he is the only reason that I left that situation. And he was absolutely the love of my life. I went home to that little mountain town and to mom and dad. And of course, mom was totally embarrassed that I had a kid outside of wedlock. I think she grew to love my son. I know she did. I know she grew to love him. But I think it was really hard for her to tell people that was her grandson. Or, you know, to be proud of him or feel anything towards him. And I'm sure that's because of her narcissistic tendencies, because she was, you know, she had to be the higher dog. That stuff didn't happen to her, she had to be better than everybody else. And so I think that that was part of the reason for that. My dad, on the other hand, was so proud of him that he constantly toted him around in a wagon. He was just the apple of his eye. My dad loved everything about having a grand baby close to him because my sister's kids were not close. They were far away in a different state. And he didn't travel that well, and they didn't come here that often, so having a grandbaby here was excellent for him. He, you know, put a playhouse in front of the store, and, you know, it was just everything. So, I mean, that was just his world instantly. Everything was for my son. And, you know, it was just a really good relationship. I think because of how my mom was, though, I think that resonated something in me. I think it caused me to worry about, you know, who I would end up with, if anybody would want me, if I would, you know, just be alone forever because I had chosen to have a kid, you know, and I wasn't married. I didn't want to have a relationship like what I had just escaped. I was just broken. At that point, my son was my only life. He was my light. He was everything. And so when I made the decision to, you know, go down to the bar, because up there, I think I've mentioned this before, the only place to do is go to a bar because that's where the restaurants are even. There's not a choice. And I decided to go see my girlfriend and ended up running into the kids' dad, as I refer to him often. We had gone to grade school together, and, you know, he was looking mighty fine, and he was good. He really was. And so that whole thing happened and progressed. You know, he really stepped up to bat when it came to my son, because that's something a mom just kind of inherently worries about, is a father figure for their kid, whether they want to be in a relationship or not. And then I think that instantly I started worrying about, you know, my son being alone, and I wanted to have a sibling with him, and I didn't want him to feel like he was abandoned. And so, you know, I got that baby fever really soon. We waited until after we were married and, you know, all of that to get pregnant. And my pregnancy with my daughter was tough. I mean, it was terrible. It was, you know, I was so big, and I was just having problems with, you know, my hips dislocating. And actually, and that happened with my son too. My hips dislocated, and they give you exercises to kind of pop them back in so that your pelvis doesn't grind as you walk. That's always lovely. But it was just a tough place to be. I guess I didn't want my son to think like he was born out of wedlock. And maybe that's what influenced me to marrying their dad right away, and, you know, having my daughter right away. And I don't know. But my son was proud of my daughter when she was born. And of course, after I got married, then that fixed everything for my mom. She definitely didn't fess up that, you know, he wasn't my son's dad, because that was a point of embarrassment for her. My dad could care less, because my dad was an orphan. So, you know, he just loved them. That's just how he was. And, you know, I looked at my kids. I think back to when they were young and when we moved down to the valley and bought our first house, and I babysat, and I guess I put them on a pedestal. Like, I mean, I knew they could do wrong. I knew, you know, my daughter lied some, and, you know, they weren't like the best kids. They had their things. But to me, they were the best kids. Like, I always saw in their heart they were good. Like, I could see through all the crap that was put on them from, you know, just school and, you know, all that. And they were just so good. They were just, I want to say, beautiful kids, and that has nothing to do with their physical effects. It was just, they were just beautiful kids. They still are, although now adults. I think, you know, maybe all parents should feel that way about their kids, and maybe they all do, except for, you know, the weird tainted ones with that we hear horror stories about. But I just, no children compared to them. I just looked at other children and thought, you know, they were either homely or dumb, or you know, the list goes on, because my kids were just up here, you know, raising my hand up to my eyebrows, and, you know, the other kids were down here raising my hand to my chin. And it just how it was. I'm not sure anybody else felt like that for them, though. And I kind of feel like you're supposed to feel like that for them. So I didn't understand that. Their dad, you know, I think their dad loved them, even though he wasn't my son's biological dad. I think he still loved them like, you know, he was the dad. But, you know, I think I mentioned this in one episode, the trust fall. My son was about 10, and we had been watching something on TV, and so we all started giggling and doing trust falls, and so their dad said, oh, come on, and kind of coaxed my son to doing it. And it took him a while. Like, he did not trust that his dad would catch him, and finally he fell backwards. And right when he fell backwards, it's like his dad, I don't think he did it on purpose. I honestly think that he just was just so nonchalant and lackadaisical in thought process that at that precise moment, he just kind of stood up, like he just wasn't prepared. And then my son literally like fell down. And that hurts, you know. That hurt me, because then, you know, what does that mean to my son? I'm sure he still remembers that because I still remember that. I can see it in my mind as I'm telling that story. And then, you know, there were just the little things that you watch out for, like my son and his friends being picked on in school and, you know, me hunting those guys down and me screaming at their parents, banging on the door, you know. And then coming from the lifestyle that I came from, I was always so paranoid about, you know, my daughter being molested. And there's where sexism comes in, because there were points when I was freaked out for my son, but honestly, for the most part, when it came to anything like that, it was really towards my daughter. I was so scared for her. And when she got in a fight with my current husband and then wanted to move in with her dad, I was devastated. That's when all the stories started coming to light about her having sex in her bedroom and smoking pot. And I don't know. I mean, I have to assume that her dad was home and, you know, hope to God, paying attention. But I just know that, you know, that same kind of lackadaisical attitude was still present, and that helped shape that whole part of her life. You know, it's a scary thing when you have kids, because it's kind of like your heart is just constantly walking around outside of your body. And, you know, through all of my daughter's boyfriends and escapades, you know, you want to support her and you just hope to God she's, you know, making the right decisions and not catching anything or, you know, getting pregnant or, you know, whatever. It's just a really scary thing to think that, you know, your kids could mess up so significantly, you know. And my son, too. My son has, you know, he broke up with his girlfriend, you know, several years ago. And there hasn't been a real significant other since. And I see my daughter on one hand kind of replicating my behavior, where she just has a new boyfriend, a new girlfriend, one right after the other. It's almost like there's no downtime and she panics whenever there's not someone there, you know. And so it's kind of that horrible learned behavior that she picked up from me. I'm sure of it. And she doesn't look at it like that. She evaluates her life much differently, and she is more outspoken, so it's not totally like me. Hopefully there's a lot more thought process and a lot more strength behind her decisions, because she does run her life differently than mine, but I do see that pattern. My son, on the other hand, has kind of taken the opposite approach, where he's totally paranoid. He says his last girlfriend cheated on him, and that was that, and now he hasn't had a girlfriend for several years. And so I think maybe he's scared of marriage and commitment, and he's using my examples as his, you know, base decision. So I guess no matter what you do, it's passed on, and your little heart walking outside of your body all the time. You know, you feel like, I guess, when they turn 18, they're just on their own and free to go about their days, but that's just not how it works. Because I can't tell you how many times I've driven clear across town to deliver a pet or feel better soup or to change a tire. I can't tell you how many times I've deposited frantic deposits in their banking accounts because I was so paranoid of something happening or because something was going on that where they needed extra. It's just a really scary thing. I think on that note, I'm just going to take a really quick break. So I'll be right back. Hold on. All right, I'm back. Thanks for sticking with me. So, you know, with husband number four, he had an older daughter who had a baby. And she referred to my son once as a bastard. And she was very point blank and pointed. And it was because my son didn't have a dad. And really what she failed to account for was that, you know, technically he did have a dad. He had a few of them. So he wasn't a bastard. I think that's a very derogatory term. It hurts me that my kids aren't, you know, full siblings because I've heard my daughter say half before. And I don't feel like that's what they were because they've never known anything different. You know, it's not like they came into their lives, you know, at a later date. You know, they are almost exactly 2 years apart. And they're the only siblings each has known. They were raised together. Maybe what I should point out is that when you come from a background like mine and you make, I don't want to say frivolous decisions, but when you make decisions that, you know, impact your life, they do carry on. You think, well, it's my life. I can do what I want. And that's not entirely true. Because decisions that I made, even before kids, are still haunting me. And definitely the ones that I've made since kids are haunting me. And they've all helped shape who I am, as well as who my kids are and the choices they make. Now, my kids are awesome. I still feel like that. And it's more than just me being tainted because I'm their mom. My daughter is, I don't want to disclose too much in case somebody I know actually listens to this, but let's just say that my daughter is extremely smart in college and is being paid for those wits, and she's very dedicated, and people recognize that more than me in the academic world. My son is always constantly recognized at his job that he works, which is at a well-known company, and is then, you know, pursuing his college stuff. And both of them absolutely have a heart of gold, and I just couldn't be more proud of who each of them has become. I love how my daughter has become so outspoken. She's just a force. And she doesn't fit the mold of you know, the normal girl. She goes out of her way to just be who she is. And I love how my son is thoughtful and kind, and, you know, he worries about, you know, the trivial stuff that I don't think normal guys probably worry about. But it's just kind of a testament to who they are as people. And so, as bad as you can say my experiences impacted them, they also probably influenced them in some ways that were positive. So I wish it would have been different, and I wish, you know, that I would have stayed with their dad or whatever. I'm not even sure I wish that, but, you know, you always think, well, what if? But, you know, I guess I'll have to reflect on something that my son told me many years ago. And he said that if you would have done anything different, then you would have turned out different. And maybe you wouldn't like who you turned out to be. And that's probably the most accurate statement. And, excuse me, I think I'll probably end on that note. Because seriously, everything is connected. And if I would have done anything different, if I would have made one different choice, I always think it could have been better, but maybe it would have turned out much worse. So I guess those are my final thoughts. So thanks for listening. This was kind of a weird episode. I apologize. I'll try to get more on track. But that was just something that was on my mind today, and I needed to kind of get that out there. So thanks for listening. Next time it'll be more normal. Until next time. Bye-bye.